वेलकम फ्रेंड्स, वेलकम टू द सेकेंड सेम ऑफ योर कोर्स, होल कोर्स. इन दिस सेकेंड सेम यू आर गोइंग टू डील विद अ न्यू अकाउंटिंग सब्जेक्ट कॉल्ड कॉस्ट अकाउंटिंग. नाउ सिंस यू आर फेमिलियर विद वन ऑफ द अकाउंटिंग सब्जेक्ट कॉल्ड फाइनेंशियल अकाउंटिंग, आई होप यू हैव एंजॉयड योर फर्स्ट सेम विद द फाइनेंशियल अकाउंटिंग सब्जेक्ट. आई ट्राइड माई लेवल बेस्ट टू मेक दैट सब्जेक्ट वेरी मच इफेक्टिव फॉर यू, सो दैट यू शुड लव दैट सब्जेक्ट. Because if you love a subject, then that subject will become very, very much easier for you. So I will try my level best for this subject also to make that subject very much clear to you and effective, so that you also love this subject and this subject becomes easier for you. So now we are starting with a new subject called cost accounting. Now, before starting the chapters of this cost accounting, let me give you some introduction regarding cost accounting. What is cost accounting is all about? As you know, financial accounting is a process of analyzing the business transaction, recording the business transaction, and getting the result out of it. After getting the result, communicating that result to the people who are linked with the company. That is all about financial accounting. In short, financial accounting is a process of recording business transaction and maintaining that records for the future aspects. Whereas, cost accounting deals with three major functions. First, ascertainment of cost. Ascertainment of cost means estimation of cost of the product manufactured by the company or estimation of the cost of the service rendered by the company. This is one of the major function of the cost accounting. Second function is to have a control on the overall cost of production. Third function is to have the control on overall efficiency of the business and helps the management in decision making in the various fields of production process. So cost accounting deals with three important functions. First is ascertainment of cost, control of cost of production, control the overall efficiency of the business. Now, let us start with the first part, ascertainment of cost. When I use the word ascertainment of cost, it means estimation of cost of the product. Now, for estimation of the cost of the product, which is an important job for every cost accounting department people, because if you don't calculate the cost of the production of your product, you will not be in a position to fix a better price for your product and to sell off in the market. So it is very much necessary for the company to fix a price for their product to be sold in the market. For that purpose, they have to calculate the cost of the production or the cost of the product which they produce or manufacture in their company. So for calculating the cost, there are various methods which the company may follow. The methods may differ from company to company, industry to industry, depending upon the nature of the product they produce or depending upon the volume of operation they do. So few of them we are going to discuss in this chapter. So we are now into the first chapter of cost accounting subject. It is an introduction for cost accounting. So in cost accounting, the various methods which is used by the company for calculating the cost of the product are, first, if you want to jot it down along with this video when you are watching, please jot it down because you can write it down as soon as you listen to me. First is job costing method. In job costing, there are two bifurcations, batch costing and contract costing. The first method is job costing method. We are now doing the explanation, means we are doing the part of the methods of the calculation of the cost of the product, right? So first method is job costing. Second, in that we have two bifurcation, batch costing and contract costing. Second method is process costing. Third method is single unit costing method. And fourth method is operating costing method. So there are four methods of calculating the cost of the product produced by the company or the service rendered by the company. One is job costing, which is again bifurcated into two parts, batch costing and contract costing. Second one is process costing. Third one is single unit costing method. And fourth one is operating costing method. Now, we'll have a brief explanation of each and every method, since The detail we will be studying in the next sem of this subject, but in this chapter, in the introduction, we will be having a brief of this, all the methods in a minute of time. Just start with the job costing method. Now, job costing method is a method of calculating the cost of the product. It will be used by those company where production is not huge in number, but the cost of production is huge. I repeat, job costing is a method which is used by those company where production is not huge in number. They are not producing in thousands of units or 10,000s of units. They are producing in one or two units, in countable, means you can count it with the tip of the fingers, right? So such company where production is not huge in number, but the production cost is very huge, such type of company may use this method. For example, aircraft building company. They are not keeping on producing the product as and when they are starting with their day. They always get the order from the customer. Once they get the order from the customer, then they start to manufacture their product. Till that time, they don't produce because the production cost for producing an aircraft is very huge. Engineering, tool making company, automobile industry, all these industries follow job costing, where the production is not day to day, they produce as and when the demand is there, as and when they get the order. That's the reason it is called job costing. The carpenter, he also does not keep on producing the product. He only start his work when he get the job from a particular client. Similarly, engineering tool making industry, for take an example, L&T. L&T will not keep on producing the engineering tools. They only produce that engineering tools when they get the order from a particular company. So for such type of company, it is very much useful method to calculate the cost by job costing method. Now in job costing, I told you there are two bifurcation. One is batch costing, second one is contract costing. Now batch costing, see for example, I told you that in automobile industry, job costing is used. Suppose in automobile industry, if I follow only job costing, what will happen? They have produced, suppose, thousands of cars. And they didn't take any serious action regarding various models of cars. They just took the total cost of production. They added all the material cost, labor cost and overhead cost together of all the 1,000 cars. And then divided with the number of cars, they will get the cost of product, particular product. But in automobile industry, there is a problem. Because we don't have a car of same model. There are different model in automobile cars. For example, take an example of Maruti Suzuki. In that, if you are talking about Alto, in Alto only we have three different segments. LXi, VXi, ZXi. In LXi model, there will not be power steering with you, there will not be power window. Only normal, this thing will be there, window will be there, and no power mag wheel or no power steering, power windows, all that thing. But if you go to VXi, in VXi we have power window and power steering. And in ZXi, we have power window, power steering, integrated system plus mag wheel. So if you are not bifurcating these different models of car in cost wise, then it will be a deep trouble for you to calculate the cost of car for a particular model. For taking that problem in mind, what they did, they made a batch of different models of car. Means for LXi production, they used to do the job costing for LXi separately. They used the job costing method for VXi separately. They used the job costing method for ZXi separately. That means they made up batches. So that is what batch costing. So it is a part of job costing, but since they had made batches for each model, that's the reason it is called batch costing. This batch costing is very much useful for pharmaceutical companies, pharma industries. Because when they produce the medicine, the basic part, the basic chemical which they use or the basic medical formula they use is the same for all the diseases. But afterwards, according to the different types of diseases, they put some various product in that, and that bifurcate, that means that differentiate the medicine with another medicine. So in order to calculate the cost of on the basis of different diseases, again they are divided into different batches. So for them also batch costing is very much useful method for calculating the cost of their product. The second subheading was contract costing. Now, contract costing is useful for those companies where they knew that their particular job, their particular contract is not getting over in 1 year. It may go for more than 1 year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So when your job is not going to end in one particular financial year, definitely it will be going to end, it will take 2 more or 3 years or 4 years. In that case, we may follow contract costing. Because we are dealing with different contracts. Take an example of any builder, say Hiranandani. They are constructing their site. They have a site at Chembur, they have a site at Powai, they have a site at Thane. Now they will be doing their job, they will not complete their job in 1 year because they are not making one particular building, they are creating the whole town. They are developing a whole town. So they are making a township. Right? So their contract will not get over in 1 year. Or 2 years, it may take more than 1 year. So for them, in order to calculate the cost of each contract, they will use job costing method. In that, they will use contract costing. So this is one of the method which is used by such type of companies. So I have given an example of job costing, batch costing and contract costing. Now second method of costing is process costing method. Now this method will be used by those companies where they are producing a final product but not at once, but they have to be processed through different processes. Different processes. By transferring the units from raw material from one process to another, and at the end they get a final output. In such type of company, it is very much necessary for them to calculate each and every process the cost. Means they are supposed to calculate the cost per unit of your product at every stage of their process. For example, textile industry. When I am talking about textile industries start, their job starts with the cotton seed. From the cotton seed, they get the thread. They then do the weaving process. First, extraction of thread from the cotton seed. After that, that was the first process. Second, they then start weaving out of that. And make a cloth. Then that cloth is put in the boilers for bleaching and dyeing process. And from that dyeing process, they then get a lots of different color as well as different fabrics product. So their production takes place with three to four processes. And the company is intending to know the cost of each and every process to be very accurately so that it will help to calculate the total overall cost of the production. So for them, it is this method, process costing method is useful or beneficial. One more example, take an example of sugar industry. Sugar industry or take an example of manufacturing of oil. They do the estimation of cost with the help of process costing. Manufacturing of oil includes crushing process. Suppose if I am talking about production of coconut oil, the first process is crushing of coconut oil. So I put 1000 tons of coconut oil into the crushing process, and it is not necessary that if I put 1000 tons of coconut oil, coconuts in the crushing process, I will get 1000 tons. I may get 1000 tons or I may not get 1000 tons. It is not compulsory. The output of the first process, crushing process, that is a crude oil, cannot be sold directly in the market. They has to be refined. They have to make, they should be made purified. They should be purified and then it should be sold in the market. So from the output of the first process, the crude oil, will get transferred to the second process called refining process. In that refining process, certain expenses are incurred. Get the total of that and find the output cost of that refining process. Now that refined oil will be sold in the market, but not in plastic bags or something like that. They have to be put it in a bottles or proper packing. From that, that's why from the refining process it will get transferred to the finishing process. In the finishing process, all the oils will be packed in a small pack or a bigger pack, half kg, 250 liters, milliliters or whatever the pack available in the market. In that, they make a packing process and then they sell it in the market. So in order to calculate the cost, I have to get the cost of each and every process, add that and get the total of the final output. So this is how process costing deals with. So this is how the cost of goods are calculated, cost of product is estimated with the help of process costing. Third one is unit-based costing method, unit costing method, single unit costing method. Now in this method is suitable for those company who are not producing, who are producing the goods in a huge number, but the cost of production is not huge in numbers. For example, if I am talking about a nail producing company, nail, you know, not nail, there are different types of nail. So they will be producing in huge quantity, but the cost is very, is less as compared to the quantity produced. They might be producing 5 lakh tons screws or nails, but the cost of 5 lakh tons is only 5 lakhs. Suppose I'm giving an example. So they may be huge in numbers in production, but the cost is not huge. Such type of company may follow single unit costing method. And the last one is operating costing method. Now operating costing method will be used by all service providing industries. Operating costing method will be used by all service providing industry. For example, transport industry, hospital, clubs, entertainment industry. All this industry may follow operating costing method because this method is useful for service industry, not for manufacturing industries. So, service industry follow operating costing method. Now, I think you are very much familiar with methods of costing. There are 4 methods of costing. One is job costing, which is again bifurcated into batch costing and contract costing. Second one is process costing. Third one is single unit costing method. And fourth one is operating costing method. In this method, one thing you have to keep in mind is which method will be useful for which company. That bifurcation you should be very much clear about. So I hope you have clearly understood this concept. We'll move on to the next part of this chapter, right? Now, since we are familiar with now various methods of estimation of, various methods for estimation of cost of the product, now for estimation of cost of the product, it is very much necessary for the cost accounting people to bifurcate the cost or to classify the cost. Now, when this cost accounting subject, nowadays cost accounting subjects are developing day by day, it has more and more importance because of competition. Because of competition, it is very much necessary for the company to reduce the cost, to find out the cost and to reduce the cost and to give the best price in the market, competitive price to their product in the market so that they can compete in their, with their respective companies. Right? For that purpose, cost accounting subject or cost accounting the category or the concept is growing day by day more and more important because of competition. Now for calculating the cost, it is very much necessary to classify the cost or to make bifurcation of cost. So when they started with time basis. Now according to this time basis, on the basis of time, we classify the cost into 2 categories, historical cost, one is historical cost and second one is predetermined cost. Predetermined mine cost. Now on the basis of time, how we used to calculate cost, one is historical cost. Now what is historical cost? According to historical cost, produce the goods, incur all the expense which is useful for production of that particular goods, and then after completion of the production, get the total of all the cost and that will become the cost of production, which becomes the historical cost on the basis of time. So you first complete your job. After completing the job, get the total of all the production process expenses and then divide it with the number of units produced by you. That will become the historical cost. Now, predetermined cost. Now, predetermined cost is useful for having control on the cost. On the basis of historical cost, which act as a base for the predetermined cost, we'll first determine the cost in advance. We will estimate the cost in advance and work in full flesh to attain that, to always be below that predetermined cost. In that way, we can have control on the cost. So this is how classification is done on the basis of time basis, historical cost and predetermined cost. Predetermined cost is useful for the company to have a control on the cost. If you decide in advance, this much should be the cost of your production, so you will work in that budget line, you will work in that boundary, And if you are able to do that process within that boundary, that means you have controlled the price. So predetermined is one of the important technique or cost which is helpful for the company to have a control on the cost. Second, classification is made by the cost accounting people is on the basis of nature of element. When I'm talking of nature of element, when I started calculating the cost of my product, so on the basis of nature of element, I used to bifurcate the cost into three categories: material, labor, and overheads. So whatever material, whether it is direct material or indirect material. Direct material means, suppose if I am talking about the manufacturer of shirts and pants, in that direct material is my cloth, and indirect materials are thread, needle, button, and all that. So all that, direct material or indirect material, all are taken in the category called material. Plus labor cost includes direct labor or indirect labor. Means labor wage which you pay to the tailor is direct, and the labor wage which you pay to the person who is packing that your shirt in a box properly or ironing that shirt in a, and then packing it. So labor is paid to that fellow also. But they are indirect because they are not contributing to the product. But it is a cost which is incurred by the company for production. So they are indirect labor. So add that. So on the basis of nature of element, we divided the things into material, labor, and overheads. Overheads means all type of expense which is incurred by the company from the production, admin, selling, everything taken as overheads. So on the basis of nature of elements, cost is classified into three categories: material, labor, and overheads. Material, labor, and overheads. Now next is traceability. When I am talking about traceability, we have two costs in that: direct and indirect. On the basis of traceability, we have bifurcated the cost into direct and indirect. I will just give an example to make you understand this direct and indirect cost. Now, for example, since I am taking an example of shirt manufacturing company, so on the basis of that only I will give an example. For one shirt, you require two meter clothes. Suppose for one shirt, if a normal person, not like me, but a normal person, for one shirt he requires 2 meter clothes, right? So for two shirt it is 4 meter. So for 2 meter it is costing you 40 rupees. Suppose for 2 meter it is 40 rupees, right? So for one shirt the cost is 40 rupees. For two shirt it is 80 rupees. For three shirt it is 120. Similarly, like labor, for one shirt labor is 20 rupees. So for two shirt it is 40. So they are called direct expense because it has direct impact on. Now I will give you one more example: rent of the office where you are operating. So rent is 10,000. So can I say that for one shirt rent is 10 rupees? Can I say that? Yes or no? Tell me. Yes, I am asking you. You tell the answer. I will get that answer. Definitely. No, you don't know. You are saying no or you don't know? Acha, you are saying no. Yes, very good. For one shirt, I can't say 10 rupees rent. For one shirt, electricity is 5 rupees. For one shirt, salary of the office staff, administrative staff is 10 rupees. Can I say that? No. So such type of cost where the expense is not incurred on the basis of units manufactured by you, but they are on the basis of time period, they are called indirect cost. Rent, rate and taxes, printing and stationery, salary and wages, postage and telegram, office and administrative expense. All these expenses are indirect expense because for them I can't use that statement that for one shirt office and administrative expense is 5 rupees. No, you can't say that. But for one shirt material is 40 rupees, I can say. For one shirt labor is 20 rupees, I can say. For one shirt production cost is 30 rupees, I can say. But for one shirt office and expense is 3 rupees. For one shirt electricity is 1 rupees, I can't say that. So that is why it is indirect cost. So on the basis of direct and indirect, so every classification which we have, as we are going further and further, every classification will be revolving around this point only. Now the next method is product cost and period cost. Again, product cost means direct cost. Product cost means direct cost. Again, for one shirt, 20 rupees is the raw material. That is the product cost. For one shirt, 25 rupees is the wages. That is the product cost. For one shirt, 10 rupees is the rent. No. Rent is paid on time basis, monthly rent. It does not depend on if you produce one unit, rent will be 10,000. If you produce two units, rent will be 10,000. If you produce 10,000 units, rent will be 10,000 only. It will not fluctuate because it is for 1 month. Right? So monthly rent is 10,000, monthly salary is 4,000. So they are called period cost because they are not paid on the basis of production units, but they are paid on the basis of time. They are paid on the basis of time. So product cost and period cost. Similarly, it is the same traceability, direct cost, indirect cost, product cost or period cost. Then we have cost classification on the basis of function. So on the basis of function, we divided the cost into factory, admin, and selling and distribution. On the basis of function, production function, administrative function, selling and distribution function. So on the basis of function, we are bifurcating the expense on the basis of function, factory, your production expense, factory expense or production expense, administrative expense, which is called as admin expense, selling and distribution expense, selling and distribution expense. Selling and distribution expense. This is on the basis of function. The function can be classified as factory, admin, selling and distribution, research and development. So in that basis also some of the company can classify their cost. Now next one is on the basis of activity, on the basis of behavior, or you can say behavior. On the basis of behavior. On the basis of behavior. Means the cost behave with the production. Means they react to the production. I am saying that. Cost behave with the production means they react to the production units. If for one shirt, cost is 40 rupees. For two shirt, cost is 80 rupees. For three shirt, cost is 120 rupees. For four shirt, for cost of the raw material is 160 rupees. So they are behaving. As soon as the production is increasing, the cost is increasing. Production is decreasing, the cost is decreasing. So on the basis of behavior, we can classify the cost into three categories. They are variable, fixed, and semi-variable. Variable, fixed and semi-variable. Variable, fixed and semi-variable. So they behave on the basis of your production. The cost which behaves on the basis of production, they are called variable cost. The cost which remains the same, which can be called as period cost, that is fixed cost. All period cost, all indirect cost are fixed cost because they does not fluctuate. For example, if you produce 10,000 units, your rent of the factory will be 10,000 only. If you produce 1 unit, then also you have to pay 10,000. If you produce 2 units, then also you have to pay 10,000. So it is not behaving. Though the production is fluctuating, but the fixed cost does not fluctuate. So in totality, the total fixed cost remains the same. But the cost per unit will fluctuate. Cost per unit will fluctuate. In fixed cost, the total amount will remain the same. But cost per unit, if you calculate, it will fluctuate. For example, 10,000 is a rent and 1,000 is a unit produced by me. So what will be the cost per unit of rent? 10,000 divided by 1,000, that is 100 rupees. If I produce 10,000 units, then 10,000 divided by 10,000, 1 rupees. So CPU, cost per unit, the per unit cost is fluctuating. But the amount, the total amount, 10,000, it remains the same. Whereas in variable cost, the total amount will be fluctuating, but cost per unit will remain the same. For example, raw material cost is rupees 40 for one shirt. So for one shirt it is 40, for 1,000 shirt, 40 into 1,000, 40,000. CPU remains the same, but amount is fluctuating. For 1,000 shirt it is 40,000. For 10,000 shirt it is 4 lakhs. 40, 4 lakhs. For 1 lakh shirt it is 40 lakhs. So the cost is, the total amount is fluctuating, but the cost per unit remains the same. That is the important function of variable important features of variable expense. Variable expense in total, they will fluctuate, but per unit cost will remain the same. Whereas for fixed cost, in total, they will remain the same, but per unit cost will fluctuate. Now, semi-variable expense. There are some expense which varies not with the production, but with the slab. For example, overtime wages. Now, wages, I agree. Wages is what? Variable expense. But overtime wages. For example, if my wages per hour is 20 rupees. So, and the working hour is 9 to 6. So, for 9 to 6 per hour, you will be paid 20 rupees. Right? But after 6, if you work, then the wage rate will be double. Means, after 6, if you work for 1 hour, the wage rate will be 40 rupees. Because it is a method of wage rate, means overtime rate. Anywhere, the overtime wage will be more as per the regular wage rate. So that is not fluctuating with the unit produced, but that is fluctuating because you are entered into some other slab. For example, one more example I can give you, electricity. Electricity, you can see the bill, electricity bill, from 0 units to 450 units, the rate will be suppose 7 rupees per unit, per megahertz. Okay, right. After that, if you are using, if your consumption is more than 450, from 451 to 600, your cost will be 8 rupees per megahertz, kilohertz, whatever it is the consumption units maybe. Right. And if it is more than 800 and above, it will be 12 rupees plus surcharge. So, if you are following that slab, the rate will be 6 rupees. But if you are going above that slab, it will be 8 rupees. Again above the third slab, it will be 12 rupees. So, it is fluctuating not because of the unit produced, fluctuation in the unit produced. Unit produced is the same, but the slab which you are crossing the slab. So, that is a semi-variable. It is varying, but not because of production, but because of the slab, the time gap. Okay, then we can classify the expense on the basis of accounting period. On the basis of accounting period, we can classify the expense on capital, revenue and deferred revenue. Deferred revenue. These are the three classification on the basis of accounting period. The expense which is incurred once. The expense which is incurred once, but it benefits may last over many years, they are called capital expenditure. For example, if you buy a machinery and spend 10 crores rupees, so you are incurring that expense once because you are not keep on buying the machinery again and again. So you have incurred the expense once, but it benefits may last over say 10 years, 20 years. Similarly, there are some expense which is incurred again and again at a regular interval of time is called revenue period. Revenue expense. The expense which is incurred once, but its benefits last over many years is capital expenditure. But the expense which is incurred at a regular interval, but and its benefits, if you want that benefit again and again, you have to incur again and again, they are called revenue expenditure. So all day-to-day business expenditure are revenue expenditure, and all expenditure which company incurred for buying a particular fixed asset is capital expenditure. Now, what is deferred revenue expenditure? Now, sometime pay your expense in advance for maximum 5 years. Now, all advertising agency take advance booking of the shows for the ad of the particular company's product. Suppose if someone want to show the ad, their company's ad during Bade Achche Lagte Ho, so they have to pay in advance for maximum 5 years. They have to say that during this period, this many times, this much number of times the ad should be shown. Since their production has not been started. For example, KBC. Now third means the next round of KBC is going to start in the month of August, ending of September. But the ad is still going on, means going on. So it is an expense. The expense which is incurred by the company before starting a particular project or process is a deferred revenue expenditure, and the expenditure which is paid in advance for maximum 5 years is deferred revenue expenditure. This expenditure is of capital nature. Capital and deferred revenue expenditure both are recorded in the balance sheet, whereas revenue expenditure are recorded in your revenue statement called profit and loss statement or income statement. So these are the classification on the basis of accounting period, Right? Now, on first is time basis, second one is nature of element, third one is traceability, fourth one is product cost and period of cost, fifth one is on the basis of function, sixth one on the basis of behavior or activity, and seventh one on the basis of accounting period.